105 Drive with Julian Clover.
So it's the first Friday of the month, and joining me with the regular wine review is Nigel. Hello, Nigel.
Yeah, good evening, Julian.
Welcome back to 105, and it's Spanish wine this time around.
Yes, I thought that we'd cover Spanish wine, stick with the Mediterranean climate. Did Portuguese wines last month, and Spanish wines have improved immensely over the last 20 years. I think some of the people listening might remember the cheap and cheerful sweet Spanish wines of old, but no, they're long gone, and they produce some real quality stuff now.
They kind of had a rubbish reputation, really, at one point, didn't they, some of them?
Yes, I think it was about the time when the New World was coming on, and they took some time to sort of catch up. Because Spain has been growing wine since about 4000 BC, so they have a bit of a history.
A head start, perhaps, on the New World.
And they have a 2.9 million hectares planted. So, you know, they've got a pretty significant stock, but a lot of it is old vines, and it took them time to update the production processes and really to get in tune with modern tastes and so on. But the Spanish are now ninth in world consumption, average of 21.6 litres per person per year. So that's fairly significant, really. 80% of the country's wine is produced from only 20 grape varieties, the reds being Tempranillo and Ganache, and the whites Albarino, Palomino, and Alrin.
I guess there's still sort of the variation from year to year as different crops come through of the grape, which you must give some sort of difference in the taste of a wine.
Definitely. Climate has a major influence on the taste of a wine, and it's really not only that, but also the production levels for each of the different wine varieties. Tempranillo is a grape which most people recognize. It's the principal constituent of Rioja, but it's also blended with a lot of other reds to actually make slightly different sort of flavors and styles. So the major producing regions are Rioja and Ribera del Duero, which you'll recognize for some very nice wines. You'll see it on the bottles. In the whites come mainly from the northwest, Rias Baixas, and in the Galicia region is particularly notable. Interestingly, the Spanish wines are classified much in the way that the French wines are. So you get vino de mesa, which is table wine, vino de la terra, which is the vin de pays. And then there are four separate denominations, which I won't go into, but they have different levels of quality. It depends on how long they've been aged. Two to note, really, you'll see on the labels are Crianza, which are reds are aged for 2 years, 6 months of which is in oak, and Reserva, the reds are aged for 3 years, 1 year in oak. The whites are just slightly less time, but obviously those titles also apply to them. So just as a suggestion, picking up the Crianza, you could try Torres Celeste Crianza, Cambridge Wine Stock It, very, very nice red. Grape varieties, just touched on those. Tempranillo, called Tinto Fino in Spain, is a black grape producing full-bodied red wines. It's the main grape used in Rioja. It's a relatively neutral profile, however, and it can be blended with other varieties such as Grenache or Carignan. And you will see that in many of the wines that come from New Zealand, Argentina, and South Africa.
So I guess this blending, yeah, it would enable the grower and the wine producers to, if you like, expand the range. They must be presumably sort of giving, you know, behind closed doors, having a little test from time to time and mixing a few varieties to see what happens.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. I mean, obviously they need to appeal to as wide an audience as possible. And whilst Rioja is an extremely popular wine, a Tempranillo is an extremely flexible grape and can be used in many blends, as is evidenced throughout the world. In respect to the whites, Airen is native to Spain. That's A-I-R-E-N. You probably won't see that actually on the labels. The one you will see is Albarino. But Albarino is often blended with Airen. Produces nice, clean flavors, rich, ripe fruit, aromas of peach and apricot. I said earlier that the Spanish wines have come a long way since the mid-20th century when they had such a bad reputation. And they are now very characteristic of the Spanish cuisine. So you'll see the clean, white, fruity flavors of the whites lend themselves to tapas, also seafoods, paella, and Japanese and Asian cuisines. And the rich, full-flavored reds, typically the Riojas and Tempranillo, suit themselves to the meats, pizza, pasta, and also some of the cured meats that you come across in Spain. Spain, you can't not talk about sherry, of course. Sherry comes from Spain. It's one of the largest producers, mainly from the Palomino grape. The Fino and Manzanilla sherries are the pale, dry sherries, and they're best served chilled. They go very well with the Asian foods, the Japanese foods, the tapas again. You get the slightly sweeter sherries, the Amontillado, Oloroso, and Pedro Ximenez. These are of varying sweetness, and you really have to be more careful, but they do go quite well with game and offal dishes.
I remember last time around when we were talking about Portuguese wine and the port, you were saying that really once a bottle of port is opened, it should be drunk. Mm-hmm. Is it the same with sherry, or can that be kept back?
It has a higher alcohol content. It can be kept, but the actual recommendation with all of these is not to leave it for years in the back of the cupboard.
Right.
They lose the edge and their quality.
But you can leave it for a few months? Is that possible to do?
Yes, okay. You can do. But if you think of old grandma who used to leave it in the back of the cupboard and try it year after year, that's not the best way to sample your sherry.
Wincarnas was always my grandma's favourite. Oh. That was her favourite drink.
Not heard of that one.
Well, strange enough, it's not made anymore. I think once she passed away, they no longer had a need.
And finally, can't leave Spanish wines without talking about cava. I've covered that before and in earlier episodes of the wine feature. But cava is a Spanish sparkling wine made in the same traditional method as champagne, increasingly consumed where a little sparkle is needed, and is less costly, significantly less costly than champagne. It's widely available now in really good quality as a refreshing aperitif. Also goes very well with tapas. So really, the final thing to say is that you will find from Spain that there are an awful lot of the international grape varietals as well. You'll pick up the Chardonnays and the Bordeaux and things like that. So, you know, you need to look out for those. But really, if you're drinking Spanish wine, pick up those made from Spanish grapes.
And is it dramatically different from the Portuguese wine we were talking about last month? Because obviously, being neighbouring countries, they're presumably getting a similar climate, for example.
Very similar climate. Mm. So it's really the style of winemaking that varies the actual style of the wine you drink. And that's true if you look at different regions of France as well, as how they blend them, how they actually mature them, and what combinations they actually put into the different wines. But yes, it's Mediterranean climate, so very, very similar grape varietals.
Very interesting. Nigel, good to see you as always. We'll catch you again on the first Friday in November. For now, Nigel Beaumont, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Julian.